Welcome to another edition of our in-person series. I'm your host, Dina Marie, and each weekday at this time we come together and in this season of Advent, preparing for the feast of Christmas, leading us to the Epiphany. It is a time of preparation, a time to really recollect where we are in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is a time during the day where we can really talk about that journey. We talk about that pilgrimage of faith, and each and every one of us are on that road. And where is the Lord going to call us today? Who is he going to have us encounter today? Whether it's in the store, whether it's at the school, whether it's volunteering somewhere, maybe it's collecting canned food for a particular food drive you're working on at the Festival of Lights or the Festival of Trees, wherever you might be, it might be at home. It might be visiting somebody who is at home and can't get out. It may be at your hour of adoration. Wherever that might be, the Lord has a particular mission. And are we going to listen to that invitation and mission and fulfill it in his grace and love? I want to begin this morning with the book of the Psalms and the words that continue to inspire us and encourage us during this time of Advent. You, O Lord, are close, and all your ways are truth. From of old I have known of your decrees, for you are eternal. Today the church prays together, stir up your power, O Lord, and come to our help with mighty strength, that what our sins impede, the grace of your mercy may hasten. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And isn't that true? What our sins impede, may the grace of your mercy hasten. Isn't that beautiful? The prayers of the church, so powerful. And if we take time to listen, to hear that she is calling us forward to be healed, to be purified through God's grace and mercy, take this time during the season of Advent to make that good confession. Take some time in preparation and preparing yourself, your heart, your body, your soul, to really be present at that moment of that confession and to receive the full grace and mercy that God does give us in that holy sacrament. Well, today we're going to travel from Portland all the way to New England, a beautiful part of our country and a part of the world that has so much rich Catholic history as well. It's beautiful when I've had opportunities to travel in different parts of New England. I've got family in the state of Connecticut, and just to see some of the old churches and some of the old cemeteries and to look at the couple of hundreds of years of history and to see that beauty, that reminder of those who have gone before us and that they are also a signal of where we are going. We're going to eternal life. Well, Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, that is, has been part of our broadcast in a special way for many years. We've been able to share some of her books and some of her journeys. And also, if you are part of the EWTN family, many of you are, she is a frequent guest on EWTN television and, of course, radio. She's been on a program called Everyday Blessings for Catholic Moms and the Catholic Moms Cafe. It's been wonderful to hear how this program has really blossomed and grown and been an encouragement for families and especially for women. And I think this is a great way for us in evangelization to touch out and to reach women and to really bring them into the light of Christ and to remind women of the beautiful role God has designed for us in family life. Donna Marie is part of her family in Connecticut. They are based out there. And five children off doing their different things in their lives today, and some wonderful books that we've been able to share from Donna Marie over the last couple of years. And one I want to reflect on especially is called The Miraculous Medal, Stories, Prayers, and Devotions. And I reread this book over the summer getting ready for the Rosary Bowl, and I'll tell you why as we get into the program. Donna Marie, good morning. So great to have you back on the program. Happy Advent.
Good morning, Dina Marie. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you so much.
And I guess we can say Happy New Year, right?
Yes, that's true. The church's New Year. It sounds odd to some, but it's true. We began our new year when Advent started.
Well, I want to have you introduce a little bit. We've talked a little bit about your journey and a little bit about your family, but I know you grew up in a strong Catholic family, and I didn't realize you lived on a family farm. You probably mentioned that, and I forgot about that, but just some of the different things that we experience growing up in life and how that impacts us as we move on and God leads us into our particular vocation. But as we come to this season of Advent, it seems to be a season that reflects family. I think it reminds us of tradition. It reminds us of maybe some of those early memories of how we were formed and things that we did. Maybe a couple things that you can share as you reflect on that formation for you that were impactful as you look at tradition, as you look at faith formation for you.
Oh, sure. Yes, I agree that family is so important, and it's something we can pause to reflect on during this beautiful season of Advent. And the family comes in so many different shapes and forms, doesn't it? And we don't always have the perfect family, or a mom and a dad. Someone might have died, or there might be a divorce. So our listeners out there, we don't want you to feel, too bad if you don't have the type of family that you think is the perfect or the ideal family. Our Lord puts you where you are, and He wants you to grow in holiness right there in your family. So you might have, some struggles, and our Lord will give you the graces to be able to get through them. I was a single mother for many years later on in life. I was going back a little to the childhood. You asked me to mention that, and I jumped ahead. But it was a beautiful family life, a big family, lots of kids. I was the seventh of eight, and my grandmother was an important part of my life. She, because she prayed the rosary, and she just had this beautiful love that, sparkled in her eyes. She was just so loving and giving, my mother's mom and my mom. So they were the ones that really passed on the faith in a powerful way to me, in a way that was really heartfelt and really tangible, too, because my grandmother had so many sacred images all around her little humble home. So you would walk in there and feel like you were walking into a church. And see, these kinds of things really stay with us as we grow, and we can incorporate them into our own domestic churches later in life, in our own families, bring that big church into our little domestic churches. And so we think of these holy things, when we gaze upon them, and it might draw us to prayer just by seeing that image. So those things are so important, growing up and raising our families to have these beautiful sacramentals, of the church, the rosary, and later we'll talk about the miraculous medal and how that is an important sacramental, and it draws us closer to Mother Mary. And my grandmother and my mother, they had the miraculous medal, and others in my family, and so I grew up with that sacramental, not really knowing that much about it, but just knowing it had to do with the Blessed Mother. And later on in life, I learned more about it, which I talk about in my book, The Miraculous Medal. But all of these, sacred images and the beauty in the people around me, my relatives growing up, and the traditions of family getting together during Advent and around, the Christmas holidays, and all of that is so important to come together as family. All kinds of family members. We have them all. We have the ones who are deep into their faith, and we always have some in the family who are struggling maybe with their faith or who are away from the faith. But we come together in love as a family when we have these gatherings and get-togethers, and it's a beautiful opportunity to quietly and lovingly share our faith, just in the breaking of bread and the grace set at the table, just so many ways that we show God's love, and it doesn't have to be, jumping up on the table and preaching, the latest gospel message. But in our love that we show to our relatives, that's so important, and that will help to even transform hearts.
Right.
So it is a beautiful season of family, and I hope I've answered your question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're talking with Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, and as we share today with Donna Marie, I want to mention her website. It's donnacooperoboyle.com. I've got a link to it as well on our homepage at kbvm.fm, but a lot of things we share, all of the books and different resources are going to be available on her website and blog, and there's a great article that I was just peeking at, Keeping Kids Focused This Advent Season. So those of you who have kids in the home, take a look at that, because it's a great just little suggestions and different ways to, again, embrace the family where we are. And I think Father Wade Menezes is the one who says, and maybe he quotes somebody else, but God wants to make you a saint where you're at. So again, yes, as you mentioned, there's different sizes of families and different things that are happening within our family structure. But again, we know God's love is always present in all families. And how do we recognize that love? And maybe you could help us reflect a little bit at that season for you in your life when you were a single mother. You know, were there things at that time in your life that reminded you, I don't know if it would have been people or particular encounters, that reminded you, yeah, God loves me in this particular time, in this place. Did you get that encouragement at that time in your life?
Well, thankfully, you know, my faith was intact, and thankfully God gave me the grace, even though it was a very challenging and very difficult time in many, many ways, that I did know in my heart that our Lord was with us. Somehow, some way, He was, and I was convinced of that. Thank God. But, I mean, I know that some people might struggle with not, you know, with doubting that and with not realizing that our Lord really is truly with us no matter what. So if you don't feel that, if you don't have that knowledge, try, you know, pray, you know, offer up a prayer and ask our Lord to please give you the grace to know that He is with you. But thank God, I had a holy priest in my life too when I went through the single mother years, and he was wonderful. He always gave a word of encouragement, and he even helped, you know, every so often when he could, and with little financial help, you know, to get some groceries or something like that. So we struggled through thick and thin, but the love was there in our little humble household, and we just had that love of the family and growing together in holiness and growing together in that domestic church where our Lord asks us to serve one another and to love one another, no matter what, no matter what's going on. And through those struggles, through the, you know, worrying about how to keep a roof over our heads or how to keep the kids warm at night when the furnace broke and the landlord didn't want to come and fix it, and, you know, I had to put hats on their heads at night and lots of extra clothes and blankets and pray for the morning to come and the furnace man to come and fix the furnace. So, you know, we have our challenges, every one of us, you know, in so many different ways. But our Lord is with us, and He will grant us graces, and somehow we get through it all. And during the struggles, you know, I think we learn a lot, and we can, you know, we can look back on it later on, too, and learn. So I think it's all a beautiful journey, and God gives us just what we need because He's the divine physician. He knows exactly what we need and when. And I never thought of it at the time going through struggles that I would ever really recount them or to others or even, you know, speak about it on the radio or in my books because I was in survival mode. I was having to, you know, put every effort, every ounce of my strength into taking care of my kids, you know, protecting them from so many things that were going on around us, not just the regular bombardment of the culture, but attacks in many ways. So I didn't think that I was, you know, going to be, you know, sharing any of this. But see, in our Lord's divine providence, He, you know, granted me the graces to realize that these are things that by sharing, I can help to offer others hope. Because some people, when they find out that I was a single mother for many years, they, you know, this one woman in particular said to me, "Wow, you were a single mother of 5 kids, and I'm a single mother of 1 right now. If you could do it, so can I." And, you know, she just, it's like hope jumped right into her heart at that moment when she realized that, you know, if I can do it, she can do it too. And she just knew that God was going to help her. So, you know, it's important to share our lives and to help, you know, extend our hearts and our hands to help the ones who are struggling, because you just never know, you know, how that little gesture of love, a smile, an outstretched hand, a pat on the back, whatever it is, those little beautiful gestures of love can transform hearts, and it could really help to make someone's life better. And now in God's divine providence, it's kind of amazing. My memoir will be coming out in the spring, so there'll be a lot in there that I've not shared yet before, but I'm sharing it in an attempt to bring hope to others.
Yeah. That's such the theme, I think, of Advent is the theme of hope and that, you know, looking at towards the light, and it's lifting us again. And the key is eternal life, the to be with Jesus Christ and that light. And we can be part of that hope. We can be hope messengers.
Yes.
Which is so important for us during this time of Advent. When you, Donna Marie, decided at some point to start doing this writing, I can't even think back to when that first book was written, but there was a moment where the Lord said, okay, you've lived these different experiences. You're at this particular place in your family life, in your marriage. I want to have you share a little bit differently. And you've been speaking, working with EWTN on different television programs. Can you share a little bit about just that next step of the vocation, I guess, within the vocation of sharing that message through different forms of media, the print, blogging. I mean, all of those things have allowed you to share stories, and not just your stories, but you allow others to share their stories.
Yes. Well, it actually, you know, I never stopped to think about it. You know, you go through life and you put one foot in front of the other to walk in faith each day, so you don't really stop to think, well, when did this all start and why is this happening? And I mean, you do think about it every so often, but I guess when you're busy and trying to do everything, you know, to take care of your family, you don't often pause and ponder. But I did have to do that a couple of times in my writing to kind of get back to the beginning. What you know, how did this happen? Well, I always loved expressing myself as a child, you know, with art or writing. It just sort of came naturally to me. And so I did it, and then I started getting into helping with pro-life endeavors, and you know, just speaking out about the sanctity of human life in op-ed pieces or you know, letters to the editor. So whenever I had a chance or an inspiration, I would just write it and send it in, and that was my you know, I thought it could help, and it did. It did help others because they told me that it helped to change their minds even. In many instances. But then during my eighth pregnancy, which was my fifth living child, because three had been lost to miscarriage, so during one of, you know, that pregnancy, I was put on complete bed rest because I had a heart condition and a hemorrhage uterus. It was mostly because of the uterus and a severe hemorrhage that I had to be confined to the bed for the entire pregnancy. Just about, except, you know, toward the very end. So it was a very difficult time. There was a lot going on during that pregnancy, but I just happened to know a saint. Her name was Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm. And by the grace of God, you know, she came into my life along with Father Hardin. It was really one saint led me to another. It was just very remarkable, and I just took it in stride and just thanked God for these blessings of having this mentorship, you know, with this living saint. So she prayed me through that pregnancy, and many people did. And during that time when I was on complete bed rest, trying to conduct my household from that horizontal position, you know, four older children running around and, you know, still needing attention, but I had to stay put. And, of course, I had to get some help coming in the house and a nurse that would come on a regular basis and someone to help, you know, cook meals. At this point, I was married, and, you know, I wasn't a single mother. And so during that time, as I lay there and had nothing to do but observe what was going on around me and pray and ponder, there was so much time to ponder because I couldn't get up and run around and do all the things I normally did. But God, in his amazing wisdom, knew that he had to put me still in order to get me to think and to write down these thoughts that he was giving me. And I had all those motherly hormones running around my body. That helped a lot, too. So while I was pregnant for my daughter, Mary Catherine, I had this inspiration that a pregnancy is really a 9-month novena of prayer. And that was really the first book that I wrote. During that pregnancy, I wrote it down. I didn't know if it was going to be a book to help others. I just knew that I needed to write it down. I needed to write these thoughts down and these reflections and prayers that came to me. And I wanted it to be, if it became a book, a place where a mother could reflect on her pregnancy. So every chapter of each month, she would have a place to write her own thoughts and to write her own prayers. And then she could later look back at it. It's like a baby book for an unborn baby. So anyway, I wrote it and on pieces of paper. I didn't have a computer. And I stashed it away in a cardboard box, you know, for some time later, whatever God wanted to do with it. I just wrote it out and put it away. And then more inspiration came, and I started writing more for mothers. It just poured out of me. So I actually wrote a few books during that pregnancy, but they just ended up in the cardboard boxes and, you know, put in the closet. And when I moved from place to place, because I did a lot of moving in my life, they would come with me and be put in another closet or someplace. And then one day, I really felt strongly as the kids were getting a little bigger and I could put a little attention on figuring a way that this might get out to help someone, you know, to see the light of day, you know, these writings. And I prayed, and then it all just unfolded. A publisher actually came to me and asked me, it was our Sunday visitor, wanted me to write a book, a prayer book for mothers. And so that became the first book that came out, was Catholic Prayer Book for Mothers. In the pregnancy book that I wrote first, Prayerfully Expecting a 9-Month Novena for Mothers-to-Be, that would come out third, but I wrote it first. Mm-hmm. So the Catholic Prayer Book for Mothers came out, and it went on the bestsellers list within a week after it came out. And I was thinking, wow, I had no idea it would make an impact like this. I was just thinking as I was typing that book up on the computer, I finally did get a computer, and I was writing the book and enjoying every moment of putting prayer and writing into this book that would hopefully help some mom someplace in this world. And then it came out as this bestseller, and it continues to be a bestseller and a popular book. And here it was just humbly written from my heart, you know, just being inspired by our Lord to write these things for mothers. And Mother Teresa said to me, I don't have her exact quote in my mind right now, I have to think, but she said, get this out there, mothers need it. Mm. And she gave me a lot of encouragement, because I would send to her my writings. I sent her my manuscripts, and she even wrote the foreword for Prayerfully Expecting a 9-Month Novena for Mothers to Be. So that was such an honor and blessing to have her foreword. So I just put one foot in front of the other and just walked in faith and prayed and just offered my life and just wanted to do what our Lord wanted me to do. And I continue to strive to do that.
Yeah. Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle with us, and her website, DonnaCooperO'Boyle.com, and a lot of the books, in fact, all of the books that you're hearing about are on that website. And that Mother Teresa and Me, 10 Years of Friendship, that's a really special book. I want to encourage people, especially, I know all of you have a special connection in some way with Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, but that gives you a little bit of an idea of that journey that you've taken, Donna Marie, with a Blessed Mother Teresa over your particular life and the inspiration that it goes to. And again, God uses the heart of a mother to reach out to other mothers' hearts. And all of us women have a mother's heart, whether we have our own children or not, whether we're single, we are consecrated life, those that are married and have holy matrimony as that sacrament, we have that special gift that God has given us to give that love, that nurturing, that of a mother. And I think who is the greatest mother to help us is the Blessed Virgin Mary, to help us in that love in our daily lives.
Yes, and we're all spiritual mothers, that we mother all of the people around us, and God puts them in our midst because he wants us to mother them in some way. I tell these stories in my book, in all of my books, but the Miraculous Medal book, Stories, Prayers, and Devotions, I share a lot of stories about actually reaching out and being a mother to someone, a complete stranger, and amazing things happen, amazing miraculous transformations happen to those people by the grace of God and the sacramental of the Miraculous Medal that I end up giving to them. So it's just really an exciting life to be a Christian, to be a Catholic, to step out in faith and to really want to mother others, because We have to face it. You know, our world is really wounded. People all around us are hurting in some way. And as Mother Teresa said, you know, our affluent country suffers from a far worse poverty than even she has seen in Calcutta and other areas where people are starving for a piece of bread. She said, over here, we're starving for love. Mm-hmm. And people may look all put together and, you know, they have to do that for survival. They need to look, you know, like they're okay because they're embarrassed or they're, you know, they don't really want to let on that they're really hurting in such a deep way. But, if it, you know, if we reach out in love to them, amazing things happen. I've had people so many times just break down in my arms just over a loving gesture toward them and, you know, shed a few tears or actually break down and sob and feel so affirmed and loved by that hug or by that loving word. And so it's just, like I said, it's an exciting, beautiful life to want to do our Lord's work and to ask him if he can just please use us as his instrument.
Right, right. Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle with us. And one of the books, The Miraculous Medal, Stories, Prayers, and Devotions. I want to have you share a little bit more about that. And you mentioned earlier about, as you were growing up, some of the different things that you were introduced to, especially by your grandmother, the rosary and the miraculous medal. And of course, as a child, we learn with that particular intellect. As we're growing, we're just kind of fascinated in it. And it's comforting. It's prayerful. There's love that's imbued and hope and peace. But as we grow, it becomes something more important to us and we learn more about this. Tell us about your journey with the miraculous medal, how you started to learn about this particular devotion to our Blessed Mother, and it, now it's grown into this book to help us learn more about the saint that it's connected with, Saint Catherine Laboure, and her particular encounter with the Blessed Virgin Mary. But where does that go back in your history?
Well, her story's a lot more exciting.
It's pretty fascinating.
But I know our Lord wants us to realize that each one of us is so, so important to do, you know, to carry out what he wants us to do. But when I was younger, being a Catholic, you know, miraculous medals kind of came with the territory because, you know, it's a beautiful sacramental. You usually get it for a gift at your baptism or your first Holy Communion or your confirmation or, you know, at some point your godparents might give you a miraculous medal or your parents. And so, you know, I was used to seeing them, in the family, you know, especially at picnics, you know, or when, you know, if you go to the beach or something, you could see the guys wearing them, that they usually have them tucked in their shirts, but then there they are, they're a miraculous medal. And so it's just such a normal thing growing up being a Catholic and seeing that, but I never really knew a lot about it. I just knew that it did bring me comfort in it, and it did remind me of Mother Mary. And so, you know, I wore my medal and, you know, I would see my mother, you know, touching hers, you know, when she was talking to my grandmother, and they would be talking in Polish about something that, some serious matter, and, you know, they would be rubbing the medals or holding on to them. You know, you could just see how they were connected with the Blessed Mother and in their conversations. You know, it just was kind of part of my growing up. I just saw these medals all over the place. Mm-hmm. And but it wasn't until later on, when Mother Teresa gave me miraculous medals, that I really started feeling more impacted by them, I think. It's hard to exactly explain, but, you know, the first time I met her, and I recount this in my book, Mother Teresa and Me, 10 Years of Friendship, she gave me and the family, each of us, a blessed miraculous medal, and she would kiss it and give it to us, and it was so special to get it from her. I had no doubt that she was a living saint in my mind anyway. And so it was so special to get this blessed medal from her. And I immediately, you know, wore it and the kids wore theirs. And so I was so happy to have the medals. And, you know, every time I saw her, and it turned out I would see her on 12 more occasions, and she would end up writing me letters. I received 22 letters from her. It was just a beautiful, unexpected blessing of this amazing friendship from this living saint. And she taught me so much. I try to share that in all of my writings and talks and everything. So Mother Teresa, you know, she gave out these medals to everyone she met. And I realized that because I saw her on many occasions and I learned a lot about her through the sisters that I talked to and visited at many, many convents in the U.S. I even stayed at a convent in the women's shelter in Harlem, New York, at a time when it was very dangerous to be there, and worked in their soup kitchen one weekend. And so I was, you know, very aware that this was something Mother Teresa did to give out the medals. Well, it was after she died, somehow or other, I got this inspiration, somehow or other, I say, mm-hmm. To start giving out medals myself. So I've, to this day, you know, given out thousands upon thousands. I don't know how many. I just know because I buy them, and I know if they're in the thousands and thousands. That's the only reason why I know how many it might be. But I've been giving these out all over the world, and lots of, and most of the time, it's one by one. Just like Mother Teresa, she was all about one by one. She served each person she met, each person who she found before her, or she reached out to find. Each of those people, she saw Jesus in them. She lived by that gospel message of whatever you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me. And so that's what Mother Teresa did. But she also gave the Blessed Miraculous Medal. Sometimes she'd toss them in a garden of a place she wanted to buy for the convent, and then the price would go down to the right amount for her. Different things like that. Or she would take the medal, and with a sick person, she would actually rub it on the area, you know, in the sign of a cross, or just rub it and say, where does it hurt? And she would pray with the medal and just touch the person or rub it on them. And there's nothing superstitious about the miraculous medal. There's nothing hocus pocus. This is a beautiful sacramental of our church. And the Blessed Mother tells us, and she told St. Catherine Laboure, that those who wear it will receive great graces, especially if they wear it around the neck. So just back to this story quickly about me, I ended up, you know, taking on this task of just giving out these medals. I didn't know why. I just did it. Just, you know, I didn't hesitate. I just went ahead and did this. I just found myself all over the place, on planes and in airports and grocery stores. I mean, I could be any place, and the urge will just come to me to take a medal out of my pocket. I always keep a stash in a certain pocket. One pocket has my sacramentals that of my own, and one pocket has the extra miraculous medals, or I'll have a little pouch of them in my purse. They're all blessed, and at certain times when I see someone and I feel it's important to give them a medal, I just do. And I say, I knew Mother Teresa, and she gave me this beautiful medal, and then I touch the medal to the one she gave me, and I kiss it, and I say, and I'd like you to give this to you. You wouldn't believe how many times the people are in tears when they receive that medal. Almost every time, they have tears in their eyes, and they say to me, you wouldn't believe what this medal means to me. And many of the people I give them to are not Catholics, and they very happily accept the medal. So, I mean, we don't have time to talk to continue to talk about my experiences with the Miraculous Medal. I want to move on to St. Catherine Laboure, I am very thankful to our Lord and to our Lady for this inspiration to give out these miraculous medals. Mm-hmm. So since I've been doing this for years, and amazing things have happened, and one was with this gang, a guy who was in a murdering gang that I met about a month ago. That story I haven't told yet, and I'm going to put it in my book coming out in the spring. An amazing thing happened there. It's just incredible what our Blessed Mother does through her medal, and also the fact that she is our mother. Mother Teresa said to me during that pregnancy when I was on complete bed rest, she said, our Blessed Mother has helped many. She will also help you. Say this simple prayer, Mary, Mother of Jesus, be a mother to me now. You see, people need Mary now, and there are so many people hurting all over the place that don't have a mother figure in their life, or they've been deserted by their mother, abandoned or hurt in some way, or lost their mother, and we all need Mother Mary. So if we could pray, you know, to be an instrument, to be able to bring Mary to others. And for me, a main way is through giving out the miraculous medals. And I hope people listening might want to take on this task themselves. And please visit my website, because I have a page on the miraculous medal there, and And I also, you know, have a part of that page where people can just ask for medals. People ask me all the time, and I always touch the medal to the one Mother Teresa gave me, and then I give it to them or I send it to them. Mm. But St. Catherine Laboure, you know, she was just this humble nun who loved our Lord and loved our Lady. And in November 1830, actually, it was November 27th, well, first, the very first apparition was in July. It was July 18th, 1830. The Blessed Mother appeared to her, and it was really St. Catherine's guardian angel that brought her down to the chapel in the middle of the night. She didn't know who that little boy was who was all dazzling, in dazzling light, but he told her to come follow him to the chapel. It was later after the apparition that St. Catherine realized it was her guardian angel. But it was a beautiful, such a beautiful miracle that the Blessed Mother gave this mission to St. Catherine Laboure about making the miraculous medal. So she told her about this great mission that first time in July and told her it was going to be tough, you know, people wouldn't understand, but she would give all of her graces. And she showed her, she told her many things, and she told her about the unrest in France and about the bloodshed and all kinds of things that were happening, and she gave her warnings about things to tell the priests. And then a few months later, it was in November 27th, 1830, that the visions that occurred at the Mother House of the Daughters of Charity of St. Vincent de Paul in Paris, you know, happened again, where the Blessed Mother appeared to St. Catherine. St. Catherine heard the rustling of her gown, and she knew that the Blessed Mother was back. And Mary told St. Catherine, well, she wasn't St. Catherine at the time, she was Sister Catherine, but she told her to have the medal struck to, you know, get permission. It took a couple of years, as all good things do in the church, because the church has to thoroughly investigate and make sure that this is from God. And Mary said to St. Catherine, Sister Catherine, to have this medal struck and to, you know, put the words, O Mary, conceive without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. And she had, you know, the exact drawing, the exact image right there for Catherine, and it turned around and she saw the back. So after a couple of years, after the approval, it took quite some time, and I detail all of this in my book. I give the whole history of St. Catherine and in the book, and then I move on to things Mother Teresa did with the medal, and then some things, I share some encounters that I had with the medal. But at the time, the Blessed Mother asked St. Catherine to do this for her, and St. Catherine was just so happy to be able to help, and she did have to endure suffering for a couple of years in getting this done. But when the medal was finally struck in 1832 and distributed in Paris, almost immediately the blessings that Mary had promised began to shower down on everyone who wore the medal. And so it was really supposed to be called the Medal of the Immaculate Conception, but, and it still is, really. But when people passed it from one to another, they would say, here, take this medal. It's miraculous. Mm. Here, take this. You know, your little boy is sick. Take this medal and put it on him or touch him with it. This is miraculous. So that's how it got spread around like wildfire, and it then took on the name, the Miraculous Medal. And so many amazing miracles have happened through this medal, and I recount some amazing ones in my book, including one that Father Hardin told me. Father John Hardin, a renowned theologian and Jesuit priest who is now deceased, and his cause for canonization has opened. He was a friend of mine and my spiritual director, and the one that led me to Mother Teresa. Well, he had an amazing miracle happen through the Miraculous Medal, and I tell that in detail in the book.
Mm. Well, again, the book is called The Miraculous Medal, Stories, Prayers, and Devotions, and I do love the book because you do give that great history, and I felt like I was just transported right back with Sister St. Catherine Laboure and yes, kind of with her at that time period, and to follow her around, you'll discover how St. Vincent de Paul is a huge part of St. Catherine's vocation and her continual devotion to the Blessed Mother. And I've always had a special love for St. Vincent de Paul, and I wasn't quite sure why. And the more I learn about St. Catherine and the Daughters of Charity, I think, I think he and our Blessed Mother really are working so much in comforting people and healing people, and I think that's such a mission for the book. Give us a little sense of how this book has really made an impact. I think, for one, just to let people know more about the history of the medal, because, again, I think the more that we learn, and then the devotion, it kind of combines our heart and our head to really embrace what God is doing in our lives today, that he's really working through the lives of the saints to help us to grow in holiness.
Yes. And I didn't, Dina Marie, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question, though. I'm sorry.
How the book has made some impact in helping Catholics and non-Catholics know about the Miraculous Medal and to know more about the Blessed Mother.
Yes, by the grace of God, I'm hearing from people all over the world who are so thankful to have the book, because the whole history is detailed. About a third of the book, or maybe half of the book, actually I think about half of the book is the whole history of the Miraculous Medal, and then I move into, you know, Mother Teresa and some of the things that she did since I knew her. You know, it felt just natural to share about her and the Miraculous Medal, and then I share some of my encounters, like I said, other people's encounters as well, like some of the sisters back in the day of St. Catherine, and then some modern-day, you know, miracles that I know of. And then the back of the book has some devotions and prayers. So it's nice that it's all in one place. You know, you can read about it, get the history, and then you have the act of consecration to Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal and the Memorare and the Novena prayer and some litanies. So it's all in the book, and I'm just thankful to have been able to write this book. It has been on my heart for quite some time, and I just needed to find the right time to put it together, and it just, you know, came together quickly, and I'm very thankful it's out there now that people can learn more about the Miraculous Medal. And the wonderful thing is, a lot of people have told me that since reading this book, they have taken it upon themselves. You know, they felt inspired as well to start giving out Miraculous Medals to people that they meet. So it's wonderful to know that that is spreading around the world.
Right, right. And maybe you can give us a sense, Donna Marie, of when we look at the image, and I'm looking at a picture of the medal on your website, and because it was originally called the miracle, or the Medal of the Immaculate Conception. We're going to be celebrating the Feast of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary on the 8th of December. But we see on one side of the medal, our Blessed Mother, her arms are outstretched. And yes. I think she talks to St. Catherine about what that symbolizes, what that means. It's pretty in detail. And then the words around the Blessed Mother, and I think you just said them, O Mary, conceive without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. Give us a sense of some of those parts of the medal and what they symbolize or what they mean, because each piece of a medal, every piece of an icon, it means something. It's a window to something that God wants to communicate to us, I think.
You're right. Thank you for asking that. That's important. Well, the two sides of the medal convey two different messages to us. But before I mention that, I don't want to forget to say that when in Mary standing with her arms outstretched, Catherine saw that she had rings on her fingers and rays of light coming out from the rings. And the rays of light are the graces. But then Catherine was wondering why the graces weren't coming out of every single ring. And the Blessed Mother told her, those are the graces that people don't ask for. So it should encourage us to ask for the graces, you know, especially the ones that no one asks for. So, but the front present, I'm sorry, my voice is a little scratchy. The front of the medal presents the person of Mary, and it shows her in the glory of her Immaculate Conception. So if you look at the front, you'll see her there standing on the globe, and she is standing there as the Queen of Heaven and Earth. And you see that her feet are crushing the serpent, you know, to proclaim that Satan and all his followers are helpless before Mary. So it's a very wonderful protection to wear the sacramental of the Miraculous Medal. You know, Mary is crushing the head. And it's a reminder to us of her power over the devil. And the rays of light from her hands symbolize the gifts coming through her intercession to all of us who ask for them. So etched about the rim is the invocation composed by Mary herself, which is so beautiful. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you. And that's what Mary asked, the Blessed Mother Mary asked Catherine to make sure was put around the rim of the medal. And if you turn the medal around, you see that that side of the medal is going to, it conveys the relationship of Mary to us and the church. And there are no words there because, as Mary said, and this is a quote from Mary to St. Catherine, to Sister Catherine, the M and the two hearts express enough. Because when Catherine was asking, you know, what should she write, what should be on the back, Mary said, the M and the two hearts express enough, end quote. Because they tell us that Mary is not only the queen and the intercessor, but also our mother who knows our sorrows and a mother, you know, the mother who is the mother of our Redeemer. So the heart wears a crown of thorns. If you look at our Lord's heart, it wears a crown of thorns, and her heart is pierced with a sword. So we find her with Jesus, her son, at the foot of the cross, as shown in the cross, intertwined with the letter M. And then you see the 12 stars around the edge of the back of the medal. That's a double reminder. They can refer to the apostles, who represent the entire church as it surrounds Mary, but they also are reminders of the stars in the vision of St. John, in which, quote, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars, unquote. So we can see Mary's part in our salvation by looking at the back of the medal. And she brings her children through the sorrows of earth to the bliss of heaven, where in the crown of the queen they will shine like stars for all eternity.
That's beautiful. It's so beautiful. And I think, again, it reminds us to take some time and to learn more about our faith. And it just takes a little bit. And in this book, I love it because it's easy to read. It's a delight to read. I had so much fun getting ready for our Rosary Bowl just to go back through the stories, the Miraculous Medal stories, prayers, and devotions. And like you said, you do give us these beautiful litanies and other particular prayers. It's all kind of in one book. So it gives you a lot of resources right there within the book. And again, to learn history, to reflect, and then to see what is it saying for us, because I think at different times in our life, different seasons, the Blessed Mother has a different role to play in our lives, that we need to grow in a particular virtue, maybe, and that's where our mother can help us in a particular, maybe there's something that we're really struggling with. Well, that's what we can ask for. Like she said, we're not asking for certain graces.
Right.
This is a time to ask for, not gifts materially, but graces spiritually.
Right, we need so many graces just in the course of one day, and it's important to get in the habit. You know, we can form really nice prayer habits, and sometimes, you know, that might sound like it's not sincere, oh, you're, you know, doing it as a habit, but no, we need to form prayer habits, you know, like make sure you pray your morning offering in the morning, make sure you keep offering your heart all day, and one of the prayer habits can be asking for the graces. So try to remind yourself to ask our Blessed Mother for the graces. You know, every time you see an image of the Blessed Mother, a statue, the rosary, a miraculous medal, a picture, you know, when you think of Mother Mary, think of her as the mother handing something, handing you those graces, you know, offering them to you because she's your mother, she loves you, she wants you to have them, and she's not going to force them on you. She's not going to, you know, clobber you over the head with them or drop them on you. She wants you to ask for them. So I think we need to be reminded we have to ask our mother, you know, ask our mother for the graces because she knows what we need. She knows what virtues we need to develop, and she can help us so much on our journey toward heaven, you know, to ask her to show us the way, to grant us the graces because we need those graces to get through the difficulties and the challenges. Sometimes when we struggle, you know, it's not just the struggle of the challenge. It's the fact that we haven't really asked for the help. We haven't asked for the graces to get through it. We're just trying to plow through it or just be, you know, grumbling about it because, you know, this is terrible and we have to go through this and I'm just going to get through it. Well, that's not how we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to be asking for the graces and to try to get through it with joy in our hearts, knowing that our Lord knows just what we need to help us, to form us, to get us to heaven.
Amen. Amen for that. Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle with us again. Her website, donnacooperoboyle.com, and beautiful information about this book, The Miraculous Medal. We mentioned that Catholic prayer book for mothers, and I'm just thinking about this is a time of the year where we think about the needs of our family members, and there's probably a book for every family member that you're thinking of. I love that domestic church and the different Grace Cafe. Just so many books that are wonderful for families, and you might have a special family that you've been praying for. You might peek at Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle's website, and there might just be something perfect just for that. Angels for Kids, isn't that a fun book?
Yes, thank you.
This is kind of a season for angels.
I loved writing it because it's not only for the kids, it's for the adults reading it to them.
That's right. We learn a lot when we read to our children. I think that's a great time for us to learn more. So I might suggest that one as well. You know, we're coming to a close for this moment with us together, Donna Marie, but I guess I'd invite you to just share a final thought for us as we enter into the season, Advent, Christmas, Epiphany. It's a whole time for us to really embrace the coming of Jesus Christ in our lives. What's your hope and message for us as we enter into this new year?
Well, let this season of hope, let this beautiful season of holiness bring us closer to our Lord. Let's not waste it. Let's make it be the best one ever, the best Advent we've ever gone through. Each day, ask our Lord to let this be a day that we can grow deeper in holiness and we can grow closer to Him throughout the challenges, throughout the joys, throughout every single moment of that day. Offer everything. Live in the present moment. Live for now. Don't be worrying and don't be feeling like you've got to have this perfect, you know, Norman Rockwell perfect holiday or something like that. Okay, you can try to make things nice and festive, you know, for the Christmas season, but you want to live in the moment and see those people in front of you. Don't, you know, pick your eyes up off your devices and things that you might be busy on looking to do, you know, to try to check off everything on your to-do list. Try to really hard to be present to those people that God puts in your life every day. The person at the post office, you know, the person on sitting next to you on the plane, wherever you are in the grocery store, the person ahead of you or behind you or whoever it is that our Lord allowed to be in your life today. Ask our Lord to give you the graces and Blessed Mother Mary to give you the graces to be able to reach out with Christ's love to touch their heart and to accept Christ's love from that person, touching your heart as well. So that, let this be a beautiful season of hope and strive to bring that hope to everyone that you see and everyone you're in contact with through social media and in real life, you know, right here in the present moment.
Beautiful. Donna Marie with us again. You can visit her at her website, again, donnacooperoboyle.com. She's on Facebook. We would just liked each other and posted a few things earlier this morning about today's program. And again, you can read her blog. Often there's lots of great little bits and pieces for the family and for us just to continue to grow in holiness on the site. And for EWTN, it's Everyday Blessings for Catholic Moms and the Catholic Moms Cafe. What a delight. And I'm so excited for 2015 and to hear more about the new book coming in the spring, so we'll certainly get you back before that comes out so we can talk
Thank you so much, Dina Marie. God bless you in your ministry to so many, all the people that you mother.
That's true. It's so true. Would you help us with a closing prayer as we close this morning, Donna?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Thank you so much for your love and blessings. Please bring us closer to you. Thank you for your mother. Please help us to speak more to her, to come closer to her. Blessed Mother Mary, please be with us and help us and protect us. Protect families everywhere. Please grant us your graces. Thank you for your love. We love you, Mother Mary. Amen.
Amen. Again, thank you so much, Donna Marie. God bless you and your family during the season of Advent to Christmas. We'll look forward to talking with you in 2015.
God bless you, Dina Marie. Yes, God bless your Advent journey.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. Peace be
okay,
with you.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Again, Donna Marie with us. Her website, DonnaCooperO'Boyle.com. And a beautiful time for us to reflect. And again, I encourage you to read that book, The Miraculous Medal, Stories, Prayers, and Devotions. As we come to a close today, I will remember these words and let us pray them together. O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you. Peace be with you this season of Advent.